something that you didn't have before, and you owe him an enormous amount of hakaras hatev, unless you consider it totally useless, in which case it was an avera to set it up in the first place. A school has no right to set up a class which they consider totally useless. One must make the assumption that it has some purpose, and if it has some purpose, the child must learn to have that minimal hakaras hatev for the knowledge he's getting and the derech eretz for a teacher.
My wife, I have a problem. The problem is that in Brooklyn, there are yeshivas that deal with either problem children or children that are left alone. Now, there are machanchim that work 8 years, from the first grade through the eighth grade. They're horrible with the tzuras nefesh. Try and make these kids grow. The problem that was presented to me, that they came to me with, and I've been trying to talk to a few people about it, when they want to send these kids in Brooklyn, if they're working 8 years, and they have an eighth grader, a girl, who they feel they've made from, and they want to send it to one of our good schools, you know, good girl schools, they get all sorts of negative replies. Now, I mean, everybody pats these people on the back, and it's one of them called the Sis Nefesh. It's wonderful what you're doing. It's compounding. You're really doing a job. But when it comes to take in, now we're not talking about a school taking in 10 kids. We're talking about a school taking in one kid, two kids, into a good school. Not they should pull them off and say, send them to a third grader or fourth grade yeshiva. Talk about they work with the Sis Nefesh for 8 years. Why isn't Teremus Serum, which is an organization, I feel, a day school organization. I mean, it's not the yeshiva for the frum yeshiva. It's not a weekend for the frum yeshivas. It's a weekend, the way I understand terms are going to be, for the day school movement. Now, the purpose of the day school movement is to work 8 years, that maybe after 8 years, you've got one kid, the effort of a year, that maybe I could send him to a yeshiva. Now, we're sitting here with all the frum, the Rosh Yeshivas, and I want to know which yeshiva in New York City would take this one kid, or this two kids, or the five kids, and would take them with open arms. They should say, sure, this should be first priority. I want to take these kids. I want to make them to the Beit Torah. But name, they're third grade citizens. We don't want to take these kids. We need with hakulas, and no principal will tell you won't take them. No, sure we'll take them. Just bring the kid down. We'll give him 14,000 reasons why we'll turn the kid off. Are you going to learn all day? Some other cover of hair. You wear pants, you show him the Shabbos. I mean, you know you got to learn 15 hours a day. Before they finish the interview, the kid walks out and he doesn't want to go to the yeshiva. Now, I just think it should be somehow, Teremus Serum should give over some sort of a message to unser Mechanchim that they have first achrayas for these kids. I think it should be first achrayas, especially if a kid lives in Brooklyn and he wants to send his kid in Brooklyn to such a yeshiva. I'm not talking about, you know, kids coming from, I guess, from somewhere in our area. They should have an achrayas to that.
It sounds more like a statement than a question, but I have an answer to the statement too, and a very serious one. I think the problem that you're mentioning, of which I am not aware, and I am going, of course, to take your word for it, that that's the fact. I would very strongly suggest and request that you make a short little note that here are children who do want to go into a real yeshiva-type school and who are having trouble being accepted, send it to Rabbi Yoshua Fishman. He will bring it up. And let the principal of the school write to Torah Misora, and we will certainly undertake a policy to see how we can be misaking, do something to solve that problem, which ought not to have arisen.
Rabbi Milstein.
I we all know that the yeshiva has an apprised talmidim. Get the best possible machanchim to teach the child. In other words, you're required to get the best machanchim to teach the best parent to the child. How far does that commitment extend as opposed to any chiyuv we have to employees who are working for the yeshiva? In other words,
The question, as you put it, would get an answer that would be meaningless. Let me explain that. There is no question that the obligation that we have to the Talmidim takes absolute precedence over any obligation to the Rebbe or the teacher. There's a question. Because our obligation is to do the very absolute maximum that we can do for the children. We can get another Rebbe who will teach the children slightly better. We ought to dismiss the Rebbe who is teaching them slightly less and take the one that is slightly better. However, you have to understand something. We have to deal with what the Talmud will in fact get the best chinuch from, not theoretically. Now, I assure you that a Rebbe who thinks that if they get a hold of somebody better, they're going to throw him out, is not going to do a good job. If you want any Rebbe, then the first thing you have to give him is a certain feeling of security, a certain feeling of support and backing, a certain feeling of knowing that he has a great deal of consideration. When you do that, you're going to get a Rebbe who will be able to teach with mesiras nefesh and dedication. Therefore, in practice, the children will get a much better chinuch when the Rebbe does have that feeling of security. So while theoretically it would be right to say that the better chinuch is the absolute desideratum, in practice, the only way you can get the best chinuch is by making sure that the rabbeim have a feeling of being cared, of security, and being given a certain minimum of a living condition and recognition. And that's why that has got to be a priority feeling on the part of any school that wants to give its children a meaningful chinuch. Sure. Bye.
How far should the leadership be? For the now school, we have basically one community school that goes from kindergarten to nursery school. I'm sorry, through high school. There are children who have learning disabilities problems. At this point in time, it's very hard for us to put a special program, to work on a special program to have the problem. In terms of the halakha point of view, I guess, what field do we have to stretch ourselves, and that's just what we're doing, in terms of incorporating these kids into our existing program? Let's say we wanted to go and create a separate program. Obviously, the budget's going to be stretched to break this point. What responsibility do we should have, and how far is that responsibility?
Okay. This is going to be a hurtful answer, but it has to be said. You are speaking the truth, and only the truth, that happens to be a lie from beginning to end. By that I mean that what you say is absolutely true in the circumstances, but it's a lie, because if they understood their responsibility and wanted to meet it, they'd have that budget without any question at all. The reason they don't have the budget is because they don't want to have the budget. So what you said is, of course, completely true. But the situation is a total lie. Now, as to what the achayus is, you have to go back to the establishment of schools. There was once upon a time, it's now a matter of some 2,500 years or 2,400 years, maybe only 22. I'm sure it would have been gone 2,200 years. Until then, there were no schools. Jews didn't have schools. And the reason that Jews didn't have school was because Jews taught their children at home. And Jews teaching their children at home means that every Jewish home was a yeshiva. And every Jewish home was a yeshiva means the kedusha, the sanctity, the transcendence, the uplift that a yeshiva gives. You understand that a home that is a yeshiva is a transformed kind of a place. And all the children, from infants all the way to the oldest, are different people when they see a home that is literally a yeshiva. This was changed. And Yoshua ben Gamla made the takana that no longer will homes be yeshivas. That from now on, every community has an obligation to
to establish schools where Jewish children will come to learn. Now, what was the reason for this radical change in the whole living method, the whole living style of all of Jewry? I want you to understand that never in the history of mankind has there been as radical a revolution as this step. Never have any nation so totally transformed its whole style of life overnight as the Jewish people did when this one great gadol, the Kohen Gadol at the time, made a new takana that no longer should homes be yeshivas, but all Jewish children should come to a central place, a school maintained by obligation by every Jewish community, where children should come and learn. The reason for this revolution is a very remarkable one. The reason for this revolution, the Gemara tells us, is because there were orphans who didn't have fathers. And these orphans who didn't have fathers didn't have anybody to teach them. They were left alone. And the Gemara says that because these orphans needed a place to learn, they made a common school and changed the whole existence of the whole Jewish people in order that these children, these orphans without fathers, should have the same opportunity to learn as those with fathers. They didn't make a school for the orphans alone. They made a school for all Jewish children so that the orphans will be the same as all other Jewish children. But it goes deeper than this. The Gemara bears witness that if not for Rabbi Yehoshua ben Gamla's takana, if not for this change, nishtakha Torah miYisrael, there would not have remained a Torah by Jews. Meaning that the Jewish nation would not have survived. That's what they're saying. When the Gemara uses the term nishtakha Torah miYisrael, the Gemara is saying the Jewish nation would not have survived. This takana, this change, this revolution, was necessary for the very survival of the Jewish people. And the question arises, the fantastic question, how in the world can we say that they would not have left any Torah for Jews? Could the orphans would not have learned Torah? How big a percentage of the Jewish people were the orphans, God forbid? Certainly the overwhelming majority of Jewish children would have been given a wonderful chinuch in their homes in the yeshivas. Why would they not have survived? Is it not a fact then that the Gemara is telling us that if you're not worried about the orphan, your own child can't learn Torah? Isn't that what they're saying? That if the Jewish people can sit and wait and allow these children who are unfortunate not to have the opportunity of learning, they will not be able to give a proper chinuch to their own children as well. The Gemara is saying that when it says nishtakha Torah miYisrael. Therefore, the Gemara tells us that if we want our own children to learn and to develop into knowing, aware, and practicing Jewish people, we have to take the responsibility of making the opportunity to learn Torah for all Jewish children. That's what the Gemara is saying, openly and clearly and explicitly. Therefore, there is an obligation on every community to make it possible for these children to learn. The halacha is that we are obligated to tax our community to provide for these schools. Unfortunately, in the United States, of course, we do not have the power of taxation. But the obligation remains the same. And therefore, any community has the obligation to tax itself to make sure that they provide for these children as well. And I will add and beg your forgiveness in advance that there isn't the slightest doubt in my mind, and I know you will forgive me when I say this, that there are many frills in the school that you have that you could do without and instead of use that money to provide the necessary materials and necessary teachers to provide for these children. It was a matter of priority. It was a matter of choosing. And the Ribbono Shelem should be mechel. I know they mean well, because otherwise the din would be unbearable. The Yosid Litnes Adin. But I am sure that they mean well, and the Ribbono Shelem will be mechel. But the fact is that perhaps another point should be made. It is a halacha that when the Jews have the power to tax, a community that does not tax its members to provide for such a school is nechram, whether in cherem or destroyed. And the Rambam explains the reason for this harsh, this terrible judgment is because ein ala miskayim ela behevel piyam shel tinoka shel beis rabba. Because the very existence of all our lives are dependent on providing these Jewish children the opportunity to learn Torah. You're not doing tzedaka. You're maintaining your own existence. This is something that has to be understood by every Jewish community and every Jewish individual. If there is to be a Jewish people, it can only be if we provide for all Jewish children the opportunity to learn, that we are aware of our responsibility to give this opportunity and possibility to Jewish children and live with that as our first priority if we are to maintain our existence at all.
I want to get back to a question that was asked before about the quality of the teachers. Now, we know that most of the teachers in Yeshiva Kanos and also in the sisters come out from the Kollel or from their studies in Yeshiva, and they go right into Kinos without any kind of preparation. There's some degree of preparation for the women, of course, in the seminaries where they get classes and methodology and so on. We don't have it in the Rishonim. I want to ask your opinion about that, and should there be any kind of mechanism of giving these people chinuch in
that? The answer obviously is that certainly there should be. As far as I am aware, there are a fair number of yeshivas that do provide mechonim, which is training for their Talmidim in Chinuch, Mir Yeshiva, Terev Adas, Ner Yisrael, Chafetz Chaim. There must be many others. I'm talking of those that I happen to know for a fact have Mechonim, where they do train their Talmidim in methods of Chinuch. Torah Mesorah certainly feels an enormous obligation and has through the years constantly striven with an Eshdos program, with a variety of programs with which to provide Bachim and particularly young alike with a training that will make them far better teachers when they do go out and become ready to enter the active field of Chinuch. There are summer programs, there are all-year programs, there are stipends. There is an enormous desire and awareness of the tremendous need for such training. In addition to which, I think that it might be very helpful if we had some program by which principals provide new teachers with on-site, so to speak, training. As they are entering their first year of teaching, it would be enormously helpful if they had the guidance and the help of good, solid principals. The problems in these are manifold. I can only tell you that we do constantly seek to find means, methods, ways by which to increase the numbers and the quality and the time and the opportunities for such training for our Kollel Yungalites so that they can be as superb and excellent a teacher as we can possibly make.
One of the excellent points
Torah Misara very strongly does two things. Number one, it has a large number of, I don't remember the exact word that it's called, but of seminars through the year for teachers. They are regional, not conventions, but regional sessions that are not for the principals, but mainly for the mechanchim themselves, where a day or two is spent in giving all kinds of points and help, and the experts come in. In addition to which, Termisara does have a variety of suggestions and does urge all schools to send their teachers here. I heard at one of our meals, I don't recall particularly which one, that, what was it, a Shapiro family that provided a large fund for he said 40 teachers to be able to come and attend. And in addition to this, it is something that we very strongly are trying to increase, both in numbers and depth and effectiveness. And certainly your suggestion is a very good one. As far as I am aware, there is no such thing as Torah Misara certification. I don't know whether affiliation with Torah Misara certifies more than the fact that the school accepts a certain minimal position in terms of relationship to Torah. It's got to be at least accept that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam and he did give a Torah. I think I'm not sure that more than that is required. As to follow up, there isn't enough, certainly. There certainly should be a great deal more. That we could criticize Torah Misara would go without any effort at all. Anybody who wants to sit down and in a half hour find enough things to criticize Torah Misara for, it will take them a year to write it up. The point is twofold. One, but there's a lot that Torah Misara does do. And two, there is a great more that Torah Misara could do if it had, I think, the resources and, before I say the next word, let me tell you a little story. I had a bacha who needed a chavrusa, you know, a study mate, very, very badly. And I went through the list of the Beis HaMedrash and tried this one and that one and another one. I spent hours, literally. I couldn't get him a chavrusa. I couldn't find him. I get a call from the boy's father. What are you doing to my son? My son needs a chavrusa. How can you let him go? How can you do such a thing to me? Please, see if you can't find a chavrusa for my son. Do you know what happened? I found a chavrusa. So what happened? I had tried, and I had thought, and I had... Teretz is, when somebody pushes, you find you're able to do a lot more than you thought you could. It's a fact. Push Torah Misara. They're tzaddikim, they're wonderful, but I don't care how great they are. If you push, they'll be better. Monday. There are many things that they could do. A pasuk will forgive me if I say so. They have, for instance, a program that they were supposed to carry out that has not been carried out sufficiently. The Rosh Yeshiva offered each one to visit schools, to visit the classes, to speak, to suggest things to the rabbeim, to the menahalim, and everybody agreed that this would be a very helpful program. So they say that's a wonderful program and they're ready to undertake it. So who is the man who has the time to take off from the 150 other little items that they have to take care of daily to organize this and see which school and call up the principal and call up the Rosh Yeshiva and make the day and make the time? It's unbelievable. There's time involved. You need people. You need those who are prepared to do it. They don't have the people. So if you push them, they'll have the people. If you demand it, they'll find the people. If you insist on it, they'll find the time. Everybody, no matter how totally dedicated and no matter how totally wanting, will do a better job if there's somebody, Ahmed Al-Gabov. Everybody. Even Moshe Rabbeinu.
You had a question here?
I think that the relationship to Torah Mesorah question ought to come first. A lay leadership is an enormous boon to a school. A lay leadership, sooner or later, will destroy a school. There has to be some way to live with both facts. A lay leadership will sooner, parents, you know. Parents, if parents have a running of a school, that school can't possibly last. There's no way. 75% pull one way, 25 the other. The 25 say, you are not 75, you're only 10. The 75 said, we're 95, and we ought to do it. And then there's no way. You got to have some sula, some policy, something that runs the school. Laymen run the school, you either have a tyrant, or again you have, this one says this one says that, the principal has. I think there is nothing going on. Therefore, you need laymen, on the other hand, are there, the Ahmed Al-Gabov. They take a responsibility to be sure that that which the policy is carried out, that the people do their work, that unpleasantness is faced up to. Sometimes things have to be done that, you try to get out of. You need lay leadership. Lay leadership is required not only to meet a budget, but even more important, to make the community aware of the enormous need for the school, to make the community tied to the school, to bring more students to the school, to create a school, to cause a school to grow. Therefore, I think that one of the major ways in which Torah Mesorah can serve the entire Jewish community of the United States is by providing the stability to the lay leadership, so that it is through a relationship with the Torah Mesorah that they can get the hadrocha, they can get the support and the guidance by which to make their influence and their power and responsibility felt, while at the same time making possible a stable and functioning school. And that would be a major function for Torah Mesorah, and one that I think ought to be encouraged very, very strongly. I think that the relationship of our lay balabatim with Torah Mesorah is a fundamental need for the whole day school movement. I think this... Oh, the story of the little girl who was davening to Hashem, and the mother asked her what. She said, well, I asked the Ibn Shalem to send me a cabbage patch doll. He said, well, did you get it? She said, no. She said, oh, you mean that Ibn Shalem didn't answer you? She said, no, he answered me. When you push and when you ask, it doesn't mean that you have to get it. It does mean that you have to keep trying, and that sooner or later your efforts will have some effect, inevitably. I think that the altar of the Sam Sefer is such a fundamental, basic thing that everyone ought to constantly hold it in mind. The Sam Sefer goes on the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yegaiti v'loi matzasi al taimin. Yegaiti u'matzasi taimin. I strive and I didn't find is untrue. If you strive, you'll find. And he asked the question that the language is a very peculiar language. What do you mean, if you strive, you'll find? It should say, if you strive, you'll succeed. Why does it say, you'll find? And he explains, it doesn't mean you'll succeed at what you're striving. That might not work through. You'll find it someplace else. The effort, the striving, the sincerity will bear fruit. If not in the particular manner where you sought it, it will bear fruit another way. The fact of involvement, the fact of caring,
The fact of being there will have an effect, if not the specific one you were looking for at that moment, it will have a good beneficial effect on the school. Never be frustrated. Never be discouraged. There is no way that an effort that you make on the behalf of your yeshiva will not bear some fruit somewhere. It will be found fruit, but it will come not by accident, but as a consequence of the efforts you put in. I'm looking very strongly forward to seeing the video.
The reason is we have to end there by midnight. Because of certain things. I hate to do that.
Yeah, but we're going to see the video.
Right now. Mama's
right
been
now.
Waiting.
Okay.
I hate to do that. We're in the King David room. Please, and again, I apologize for
no,
Rosh Hashiva. I apologize. Please, let's go immediately into the King David room.